You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Your own generator, your own spirit. If I can draw your attention to verse 23 and verse 24, where David writes and says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me." I want to start my thoughts this morning, or to start this soliloquy, or this lesson, or this dialogue with that, just those two words there on the screen. Search me. How many people are saying to God, "Search me"? How many people are saying to God, "Test me"? How many people are saying to God, "I want you to try me. I want you to look at the thoughts that I have that are anxious. Look at the thoughts that I have that have doubt in them. Look at the thoughts that I have that have fear in them. Test me. Lord, search my heart. Lord, check me out on the inside. Search me and know my heart." In the beginning, he says, he knows me. Before a thought is on my mind, he knows me. But at the end, he says, "Now, Lord, even though I know you know me, I want you to test me. I want you to search me. I want you to know more than just what's going on the outside. I want you to know what's going on the inside." I think one of the most daunting things about our relationship with God, you see me looking around, ain't nobody in here, it's just the practice. But one of the most daunting things about our relationship with God is he knows what's going on the inside. Very different than any other relationship you have is that you don't know what's going on. You can kind of get a sense of it. You can kind of know what's on somebody's mind, especially if you've been with them for a long enough time. But God knows our thoughts afar off. Before a word is on our lips, he knows them. And not only is David saying, "God, you know this," but he's also saying, "So God, go ahead and do a diagnostic test on the inside of me. Go ahead and search me. Just go ahead and do a random search and seizure on me." One of the things that has been and will continue to be a political issue in our country, particularly for people of color, is the whole idea of stop and frisk. A police officer, someone of the law, someone in authority having the ability or the right to stop and check you without cause. Just a random search, just to stop you and frisk you. When you think about being searched, when those of us, especially men of color, we think about being searched, we think about our heads up against the wall, and we think about somebody going through your pockets and digging through and dropping stuff on the ground and seeing what you have and searching your car. Somebody come to your house with a search warrant to go through all of your stuff. That's just the outside stuff. Hope I'm making my point this morning. Let alone David saying, "Lord, go ahead and stop and frisk me. Lord, go ahead and do a random search and seizure. Just go ahead and search me, but don't just search my pockets. Search my heart. Don't just search my trunk. Search my heart. Don't just search my house. Search the inner part of me." Why is this so important? Just initially, why is this so important? I think these passages, I think these verses, one of the reasons why I brought them to your attention, I think it's important because, number one, my first reason why it's important is I just think it's an excellent question, and that is, can God search you? Can God search you? Can God test you? Or is the only thing you expect from God blessing, or can he actually test you? Is the only thing you expect from God joy and peace and awesomeness, or can he actually bring something about in your life to allow it to test you? Can he actually search you? Have you compartmentalized God just on a Sunday, or can he walk through your Tuesday? Have you just compartmentalized God just to spiritual things, or can he actually ask you a question about your relationship? Can he actually ask you a question about your money? Can he actually search you? Can he probe? Can he dig? Can he get down to what's really going on with you? Unfortunately, I find that most people who call themselves Christians today don't really want God searching them. Don't really want God too much in their business. Why is this so important? Well, number one, can God test you? Can he search you? And number two, which is really my point, and I want to go on and get into it, is that your own spirit is the candle he uses. Your own spirit is the candle he uses. When I say, search me, O God, see if there be any wicked way in me, what I'm doing is I'm saying, God, not only am I asking you to test me and search my heart, I'm asking you to do a diagnostic test on my spirit. I'm trying to get you to see, does my spirit work? Is my spirit functioning properly? The real me is a spirit being. Is it doing its proper function? In other words, if God can get you right, he can really get you right. He can set you to a self-clean mode. I think, unfortunately, there were so many of us, particularly within the last 75 years, we were taught way more about the Holy Spirit than we were taught about our own spirit. And we think everything is the Holy Ghost. And we think everything is the function of the Holy Ghost. But understand, a part of the process of spirituality is you get your own generator. Part of the function of salvation is getting your own spirit activated. Part of the whole function of word and prayer and the spirit is not just his spirit, but your spirit. It's similar to my whole dig a well analogy, and I gave this last Sunday, and I'm gonna give it again, in which I'm saying if you're living in any kind of ancient time, any kind of primitive time, water is something you cannot live without. And the problem with building too close to water is that the ground isn't as stable, and there's storms and winds, and living near water is just more susceptible to animals. It's harder to defend it. And in other words, too close to water doesn't necessarily provide you with the kind of stable life that you really want to live. And if you go ahead and make the jump in the connection with me, I'm suggesting to you, and I suggested it last Sunday, I'm suggesting it again, that a whole lot of us were taught to build our whole lives right on top of church, our whole lives right on top of the Holy Ghost, our whole life. We weren't taught anything but Holy Ghost. We was taught Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus when the sun goes down, especially those of us of color, and I know everybody may not be a person of color, but those of us who are of color who have been under oppression for the last couple hundred years, 300 years, 400 years of slavery and oppression and suppression and Jim Crow and segregation and racism, all we had was Jesus. God was all we had. And so there really wasn't anybody talking about building away from just the water source. Whole neighborhoods just built around church. Whole structure built around church. Marriage built all around church. And people teaching you stuff that's not even barely true. The family that stays together, prays together, stays together. It's just not true. The divorce rate is higher amongst Christians than any other world religion. What you talking about? It's just a quick, easy scapegoat that's not even true. It's just the over-focus on building all around church and all around God and everything. And for those of you that were raised like me, you was in church all the time. Sunday, 9:30, Sunday school, 11 o'clock service. Preacher didn't get up till 1. You weren't done till 3. You had to be back at 6 for 6 o'clock service. You went home at 8, but you kept your church clothes on. You took your shirt off, but you had your church pants on, because don't you run around mess up them church clothes, because you had to be right back then there. For most of us, our whole Sunday was lost to church, let alone Bible study meeting, let alone choir rehearsal, let alone youth service, let alone every little thing, let alone cell groups, let alone every little thing was just built around church, and we built so close to church and so close to the water that we never really realize that it's difficult to build real stable life all up on top of the water. No, if you're going to build some stable life, then as great as it is for church, you also going to have to go to school. You're going to have to do some reading. You're going to have to get some kind of education. You're going to have to make some kind of money. You're going to have to save some kind of money. You're going to have some kind of house. Church I grew up in, church world I grew up in, if you was a man, if you was a black man, they just automatically gave you a collar. Like you halfway didn't even have to hardly have no kind of oil on you, and you was called to the pastorate. It's so rare for a black man to really even be in church that inevitably you ended up being some kind of minister. Because that's all we knew, because our whole world is built up on top of church. In the primitive world, you want to build away from the water because the land is more stable. The land is more defendable. You've got better trees. You've got more flat land. You've got a better place to actually build your homestead. You can actually plant your farms there, and it's not going to be washed out or waterlogged. The dirt, the soil is better. You're going to get a better harvest from it. But now you got to figure out how you're going to get your water. In primitive times, they sent folk down to the river to get the water. Then they got well technology. Then folks start digging wells. And you send women to get water from the well. But then the technology has gotten to a place in which you ought to have a well right at your own house. Right now, I live in the great state of North Carolina, and I live in the country, and I'm on well and septic. I got a well. The guy down the corner got a well. People behind me got a well. New folk is looking to buy some land next to me. They gonna dig a well, because none of us want to travel anywhere to get water. What's my point? My point is that the idea is, for in my consistency, if there's going to be consistency, then I can't just wait on the rain. I can't just have to go down to the river. Beloved, I don't want to seem like I'm knocking it or fussing about it, because I miss y'all too. I do. And I know y'all are itching to get back in this building. Me too. I just don't want your grandmama to die for it. I don't want your baby with asthma to get sick as a result of it. I don't want somebody with I don't want all of the folk who have been saved and delivered and healed from cancer as a result of chemotherapy, hallelujah, to now be susceptible to a disease simply because you can't drink unless you hear. Part of the whole point of what Corona should have taught you, and believe me, beloved, we're trying to funnel you water even right now, and we're glad you're drinking it around the world, but at some point, you got to get your own well. Psalm 51, David says, Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts. This passage, Psalm 139, David is saying, Lord, look, search me. Know what's going on the inside. Take a look at my spirit, because I realize that my spirit is going to be a source through which you bless me. I got to get my spirit right. We start talking about your own well. What are we talking about? I said this last Sunday. What am I talking about? Well, number one, I'm talking about being controlled. I'm talking about being controlled by the Spirit. Throw it on the screens. Being controlled by the Spirit. When I say being controlled by the Spirit, yes, I do mean His Spirit. Yes, I mean His Spirit. But forgive me for just a second. As I correct a misteaching. Give me a minute to balance out the teaching some, because I feel that for the last 100 years we have been taught all about the Holy Ghost and not necessarily taught the balance. Because it being controlled by the Spirit doesn't just mean being controlled by His Spirit. It means also being controlled by my spirit. And I just have to correct the perception. And for all of you that are watching, wherever you may be around the world, put your big boy pants on. Put your big girl panties on. Get ready. Sit down. Because for the I'm going to say something that may bother you. And I'll throw it on the screens. And that is that God doesn't speak to you as often as you think. I'm mostly, God doesn't speak to you as often as you think. Matter of fact, I'll throw another one up there. Gonna give me some letters, but God doesn't speak as often as holy people claim. God don't speak as much as Holy Ghost fire, and then the Lord woke me up and spoke that. The Lord doesn't speak as often as holy folk claim He speaks. The truth is that God's voice is rare. Read your Bible. The amount of times God spoke, it's not common. All of the years that Abraham had a relationship with God, how often did God talk to him? I count in my Bible the conversations with Moses on one hand, and God says about Moses, I speak to other people in dreams and visions and all kinds of stuff going, Moses I happen to talk to face. How many times have you ever actually spoken to him face to face? Twice. Couple times. Not a whole lot. See, beloved, we were all taught something. I'm going to throw it on the screens for you. It's going to bother you. It bothers me. We were all taught spiritual hubris. We were all taught some kind of perspective. It's a pride about us individually, who we are, that we are so important to God's plan that He has to tell us what cereal to eat. Then the Holy Ghost told me this. Then I was sitting in this restaurant, and the Holy Ghost, spoke to me and said to me, the service here is not going to be good. You need to get on up and get out of here. I was talking to a young woman, and she said to me, well, PA, I wanted to meet with you because I just don't want to miss God. And I said, sweetheart, listen, I hate to bother you in the middle of your little presentation, but can I tell you something? God's too big to miss. If God really want to get your attention bad enough, He'll send a storm. God want to get your attention bad enough, a whale will come and swallow you. If God want to get your attention, you don't miss God. Not God. God too big for you to miss. Folk talk about missing God. How you gonna miss God? How you gonna miss the Alpha and the Omega? How you gonna miss the beginning and the end? What you missed, what necessarily God, you miss you. You missed your own spirit. You missed your own spirit saying, this dude don't love you. Now, as much as I'm not saying God don't care about your marriage. He does. But, beloved, what I'm saying is, for God from on high to tell you whether or not your husband love you or your wife love you, you must be really important to His plan for Him to tell you that. And most of us aren't important enough. We just not. I'm sorry. We were just taught wrong. The great Jesus came that will have life and that more abundantly. Sure, there's a call on all of us, but the ultimate call is life and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And sure, what God has done is he has given us his Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. But what you really need to learn how to do is how to listen to your own spirit. Listen to your own spirit. That's why I read that passage there in Proverbs, that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I know there's other translations of it, but the way I was taught this back when they used to teach it, and we'll teach this no more. We just teach that everything is the Holy Ghost, and everything is God, and everything is God's spirit, and everything is the voice of God, and every God, and then God's word said this, and then God said this to me, and then God's voice spoke to me in this way, and I was about to go there, but then God talked to me in my car, and I hear you, beloved, but There's a lack of balance in that teaching. A part of what's supposed to be happening when you get into the kingdom and get into the things of God is the Lord is saying, all right, now let's go on down here and see what's going on with your spirit. Because if I build your spirit up and if I get you worshiping and I get you in my presence and if I give you my spirit as a deposit, it's going to jumpstart your spirit. And then you got to read the word. You got to get some study in there because the Holy Spirit is going to remind your spirit what I told you. That the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching the innermost parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the light God uses to figure you out and to help you figure out where you are spiritually. That's going to get me in trouble. Well, I'm going to be in trouble, but it's okay. I'm always in trouble. That you have to realize that on the, I said this last Sunday. I said, being spiritual, throw it on the screens again. Being spiritual is more than being religious or churchy. It has to do with relations with the Spirit. Yes, I said that last Sunday. Let me add something to it. And that is, and I put my name, Pastor Andy WOCC. If you're going to quote me, go ahead. If you want to quote me after this sermon. But let me add something to it. And that is that being spiritual is more than communion with the Holy Spirit. It also has to do with connection with your own spirit. Being spiritual is not just connection with the Holy Spirit. It is not just communion with the Holy Spirit. It's also making sure that the direct line to your own spirit, so that you can listen to your heart and you can follow your heart and lean out on your own understanding and in all of your ways acknowledge him and you can follow the inner man and the inward witness. When you sit down at a restaurant and all of a sudden this goes on and that goes on and you hear something say, service here ain't going to be good and I don't know if these ribs are going to be so great. That thing that you're listening to is your own spirit. That ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't care what kind of barbecue ribs you eat. Holy Ghost don't care if the nachos are crisp or not. Holy Spirit does not care about your vacation. He does not care. He got bigger things to do than to worry about whether or not your tacos are going to be hot. Anytime you sit there and say, man, most of the time when folks say, I should have listened to the Holy Ghost, what they really should have listened to is their own inner man. What's your Bible for that, Pastor Andy? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. So what Paul is saying is what the Spirit does is the Spirit comes down, hey, and has a conversation with your spirit. Spirit of God testifies with your spirit, you belong to God. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is here to get your spirit confident. I was talking to someone, I can't remember who it was, and we were talking about my daughter and her music career, and great things are happening, and she's in Nashville, and maybe she may move there. And then someone said to me, oh, how do you feel about that? Like, how do you feel about the possibility of her moving away? And I said, what do you mean? This is why I had her. This is why I raised her. This is why, don't raise her to keep her with me. She's my child. My job is to give her the confidence. My son in school in Chicago. My other son is in Orlando. My other son. My job is to get them. There's something wrong with you if you're raising your child to be dependent on you forever. Whole job of the parent is to get the child confident to step out into the world knowing who they are. In the same way, the job of the Holy Spirit is to get in here and say, okay, it's not just to replace your spirit. It's not just to get in there and now be the spirit in your spirit. What's the point of your spirit if all you got to do is think about the Holy Ghost? See, Pastor Freedom, we spend so much time asking folks, do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Okay, get over here. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And folks did all this stuff. And then we wonder why they're so jacked up. They're jacked up because they got the Holy Ghost and never took a real look at their own ghost. Now you got tongue talkers evil. Folk with gifts, but not fruit. Folk with Holy Ghost and hate people. Why? Because they so focused on getting the Holy Ghost that they never talked about what is going on with your ghost. And a whole lot of folk got the Holy Ghost and got a raggedy spirit. Their own spirit is raggedy. Their own spirit is racist. Their own spirit don't like people. Their own spirit don't forgive. Their own spirit is bitter. Because all we taught them was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Listen, I want the Holy Spirit to fall. But then after he lift, I want the Father to say, I want you and me, like David to say, now, Lord, look, that Holy Ghost service was fire. But can you test me and see if there be any wicked way in me? Can you help me get my spirit together? So that the spirit can bear witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And if I'm a child and an heir and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what it's like, son? It's like when your car dies. When your car battery dies. We don't connect. Somebody gonna give you a jump? We don't connect the battery to your engine. We connect the battery to your battery. And what has to happen is your battery got to charge a little. See, and I'll throw it on the screens, and that is your spirit is the battery that God's spirit charges. Right now, I hope through this sermon that we are connecting Holy Ghost jumper cables to your battery. Most of you don't leave the clips on long enough for your battery to actually get charged. I give myself 40 minutes because statistically, you're already distracted. You're already looking at your phone. You're already ready to check Instagram. I barely got 40 minutes back in the day. Most of us grew up in the church where the pastor was up there for 2 hours. Want to give honor to God who is ahead of my life. And, oh, I see Brother Johnson's here. How's your mother? And just taking time and calling folk out. And whereas now, we got to hit it. We got to get in quick because most of us don't give the Holy Ghost enough time for our battery to get charged. The Holy Ghost doesn't connect to your mind. The Holy Ghost doesn't connect to your body. The Holy Ghost connects with your spirit. So now his spirit testifies with your spirit. And so now there's a communication between his spirit and your spirit. And if he can get your spirit together, now your spirit's talking to you. Now your spirit is saying, you need to leave this job. Now your spirit is saying, I don't think he like you, girl. Now your spirit is saying, you know you need to get up and go to church. Folk love to come in, and the whole, and what happened is the Holy Ghost woke me up. No, it wasn't the Holy Ghost that woke you up. Holy Ghost got a whole lot to do besides waking you up. No. Thankfully, your spirit has been charged enough so that your spirit bore witness. His spirit bore witness with your spirit. Now your spirit is alive. Your spirit is aware. And you know why they don't want me to preach this freedom? You know why they don't want us to preach this? It's because we will then have to admit there are people who don't know God, who listen to their own spirit, and they're successful. We have to admit that there are folk who their own spirit man is saying sell. Their own spirit man is saying buy. We're surrounded by folk who don't really know God, but are successful. And we think it's just their mind or their flesh. No. Their spirit has been trained to recognize things. And now their spirit spoke to them and they listened to it, and you talk to them and they'll tell you, I don't know, it's just something, I had something in my gut. What they talking about? That's their spirit man. Oh, we don't like that. We don't like that. Because then we'll have to admit that Gandhi had a spirit man. We have to admit that people who don't know Christ have a spirit man. We'll have to admit that maybe Muslims have a spirit man. Uh-oh. We'll have to admit that maybe Hindus have a spirit man. We'll have to admit that people that don't know the Christ we know have a spirit man. And then we have to also admit that maybe the Spirit himself bears witness with their spirit too, since they're not in a place to hear the name of Jesus. Ooh, I got to get off of this now, because what I'm saying to you is that we have to understand that spiritual power is not just Holy Ghost power. Matter of fact, it's possible to be in tune with your own spirit and your own spirit to be in tune with demonic spirits. And part of the challenge for a lot of us is our spirit man has been trained more by hip hop than by the Holy Ghost. Cardi B is doing way more training to your spirit than Pastor Andy. So now your spirit man is spewing things to you more connected to demonic forces than the Holy Ghost. You got to be careful about your spirit. You got to watch your spirit. Above all things, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. What are they talking about? Talking about your spirit. Talking about your own generator, your own spirit. If I can just for a second get you to think about your own spirit man. If we can just stop catching the Holy Ghost long enough to focus on our own spirit. And when you look at that way, it just makes Romans chapter 8 just open up in a whole nother way. Because in Romans chapter 8, in verse 9, when he says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God lives in you. So now you realize that the spirit of God living in you means that you're saved. It means that your spirit is charged by his spirit. the Holy Spirit living in you is to consistently charge your spirit, to keep your spirit aware and awake and sensitive and listening in connection to the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, he says, and if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So you realize that his Spirit gives life to your spirit. So the Spirit of God lives in you, and number two, his Spirit gives life to your spirit. It's just the point that I've been making. His Spirit gives life to your spirit. And the more that his Spirit gives life to your spirit, then your spirit becomes aware of spiritual things. But it's not just that the Holy Ghost is making you aware. No. The Holy Ghost, once the Holy Ghost charges your spirit, once the Holy Ghost gives life to your spirit, now your spirit man is powerful. And your spirit man is saying things to you. I was talking to to someone, and I was saying to them in the very first Matrix movie. My son had to watch it for a film class or something, and so I watched it with him. And at the very, very, very beginning, I know I'm dating myself, very, very beginning of the Matrix movie, when Neo met with Morpheus, Morpheus said to him, the reason why I'm here is because there's something that's been bothering you, something messing with you. You work, but you don't feel satisfied. You can barely sleep. It's bugging you. It's messing with you. It's a question that you can't let go. What's that question? And Neo said, what is the Matrix? Morpheus didn't have to tell him about the Matrix. He already knew. I'm having that conversation with people all the time. I'm like, what you're really wrestling with is a voice, the thing that won't let you sleep, the thing that won't let you rest, the thing that will, so you're blaming the devil, and it's not the devil, it's your own spirit. Your own spirit is saying, this ain't right. Your own spirit is saying, this isn't the way to peace. Your own spirit is saying, this ain't the best thing for you. Your own spirit is saying, this dude don't really love you, he just love it. Your own spirit is saying, this chick ain't really interested in you, she's interested in your money. Your own spirit is saying, this baby is out of control. Your own spirit, it ain't the Holy Ghost. Your own spirit is saying to you, if you don't get this child under control, he gonna go to jail. That's your spirit. And the more word you've put in it, and the more you've built it, and the more you've strengthened it, and the more, what happened to that freedom? We used to talk about working on your spirit and building up your spirit and building up your inner man. Worship and prayer and the word was to get your spirit ready for what? For the Holy Ghost to do everything? No, the point was that now you're supposed to be walking around with a spirit in there that's ripped. With a spirit that says, did you see that? Did you hear that? A spirit so that when you're in the movies and you see something, your spirit say, that's just like la, 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 la. You in a service like this one, you think it's the Holy Ghost talking to you right now? It's your angel? No, it's not. It's your spirit saying, this is for you right here. It's your spirit saying, whoa, I ain't heard nothing like this since I was in heaven before I got in this body and got corrupted by your mind. And if you can ever strengthen that spirit, if you have your own generator. Verse 11, I think I've made my point. He says, and if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. It just means that his spirit via your spirit gives life to your body. I'm not taking away from what his spirit's doing. I'm just trying to get you to understand that the conduit through which this flows is your spirit. We gotta take some time to test your spirit. We gotta take some time to see what's going on in your own spirit, man. Part of the reason why we are so bombarded and surrounded by supposed Christians who are evil is because their own spirits are messed up. When the spirit bears witness with their spirit and tells them they're heirs, they figure that that heir, being an heir, gives them the right to dominate and subjugate. But he's saying, if you could ever get his spirit communicating with your spirit, man, your spirit, his spirit, and your spirit will give life to your whole body. And if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. There's so many of us that know folk who lost their life because their spirit gave up. They just gave in. In verse 12 and 13, he says, I'm trying to finish it. He says, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. It's not to live according to the flesh. Not to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So if you live by the Spirit, via your spirit, you will kill the misdeeds of the body. Your own spirit will speak to you and say, let's go run today. Uh-oh, my spirit ain't said that. Your own spirit will say, you need to have some water. Your own spirit will put to death the misdeeds of the body. If you can become spiritually aware, not Holy Ghost dependent. Ooh, I'm going to get in trouble on that one. If you cannot just be Holy Spirit dependent, but your own spirit aware, your own spirit knows you need to go walk. Your own spirit knows you need to be thinking about this tip. Your own spirit knows that you need some rest. What am I saying? My fifth point, and I'm done. I'm saying be led by the Spirit. That means following his Spirit and listening to your Spirit. We're talking about Spirit communication. His Spirit speaking to my spirit. And then the next part is my Spirit's ability to speak to my mind. Oh, God. We are so busy praying in the Holy Ghost that we're not asking ourselves, can our own brain hear our own spirit? No, we time we come asunder and time a minute but asunder, but we fought so hard for a prayer language, and we are only thinking about the Holy Ghost in words we don't understand. It's just easy, simple. What's harder is to ask yourself, now, how did I miss my own spirit? How am I back here again? I didn't miss God, because God can't be missed. He's too big. So the Holy Ghost came in, said something to my spirit. The Holy Ghost reminded me what the Word said. And I fed my own spirit the Word. So now I got the Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now I'm singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and I'm getting the Word down in my spirit so that what's the point of the Word in my spirit if every word comes from the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost know the Word. No. I get the Word in my spirit so that my spirit can speak to me. But then, why did I miss it? How did I miss this? How did I go this long in the wrong direction? How did I give this dude 8 years of my life and he don't care about me? What was going on with me? What was I thinking? What is the block? How is it that my spirit wasn't able to communicate this to me, that this person was trying to cheat me the whole time? It's one of the reasons why I don't talk that much about folk that cheat me and folks that betray me. I don't say their names on stage because the real problem ain't them. The real problem is me. What I got to ask is, now, Lord, how did I miss that? I know I didn't miss you because you done got my attention. You'll knock me down to my knees if you really want my attention. Be careful asking God to get your attention. You're going to find yourself in a bed. Not about God getting your attention. It's about your own spirit. How did I miss my spirit? Can my spirit communicate with my brain? How do I make sure that that conduit of communication is clear so that the next time the Holy Ghost bears witness with my spirit and the Spirit of God speaks to me, I can hear it? I can't tell you how many people, son, just use me to be the Holy Spirit. They just use me to be the Holy Ghost. They just want to call me and they just want me to tell them something that their own spirit is saying because they can't hear their own spirit. They can hear me through their ears, but it don't last. I just end up saying it again. How is it? How do we get the channel of communication open so that you can hear your spirit? I got ways right here, but I'm out of time. You'll have to come back next Sunday, and I'll tell you how you can listen to your own spirit. Can I get you to give right now? This is an excellent test as to whether or not you can listen to your own spirit right now. When the word says each man should give as he's decided in his heart to give, what that means is each man should give what his spirit is telling him to give, not his flesh. Your flesh is innately stingy. Your flesh says, I'm not giving that. I'm going to get me a chicken sandwich. Your flesh looks and says, they don't need my money up there. Look at all them lights. Look at all that. They don't need my thing. That's your flesh talking to your mind. When the word says each man should give as he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. That's talking about your spirit man. The candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the belly. That your spirit is the light that God uses to check you out. This is an excellent test. Can you follow your heart and not your own understanding? Can you say, I'm going to give? And I want to challenge you to give. This is an offering. It's beyond your tithes. This is your offering. Your tithe belongs to God. This is your offering. This is your offering. For all of you that are like, oh, when are we going to meet again? Don't even come. Look, don't even come in the room if you're not ready to give an offering. I'm telling you now, when you come back here, I'm going to make you stand. I'm going to make you come down. I'm going to make you give an offering. Because we haven't got long to stay here. We're on our way somewhere. We got some land and we got a vision and we don't own this building and these folk are robbing us. So we're on our way somewhere. You really want to come to church? Awesome. Trust you, we'll bring an offering with you. Oh my God, I love Pastor Andy's ministry. Awesome. Then let's give to the work of the kingdom of God. Out of your love for God, out of your gratitude for God, out of the voice of your own spirit man, let's give. I'm challenging you to give at least $50. At least 50. Give God some of your shoe money. Give God some of your hair money. Give God some of your phone money. Keep your iPhone 10 for another 6 months and give God your iPhone 11 money, your iPhone 12 money. Woe Online, 77977. It's been on the screens this whole time. And you can give. You do a one-time registration, and you can give to the work of the kingdom of God. Come on, over time. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come together. Thank you for your hand that's on us for good. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Thank you that right now there is a well on the inside of us. Thank you that you knew what you were doing when you made us. It is you that has made us and not we ourselves. So you have made the real us a spirit being and put us in this body. Some of us are in a black body. Some of us are in a white body. Some of us are in a Latino body. Some of us are in a Indian body. Some of us are in a male body. Some of us are in a female body. God, I thank you right now that we can surrender our lives as a living sacrifice. Take this offering and multiply supernaturally. That those of us who are spiritual, those of us who are spirit beings having an earthly encounter can leave something behind to mark that we were here. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. So glad you were with us. Like I said, next Sunday I'm picking up where I left off. Your own generator, your own spirit. Next Sunday I'm going to talk about how I can make this connection between my spirit and my mind. Wednesday nights, powerful stuff happening on Wednesday nights. Devotional, Bible study, you don't want to miss it. And more than ever, beloved, share. Tell somebody you're hearing a word. Let me pray for you one more time. God, I thank you for healing. It's the children's bread. You sent your word and heal us, and you heal us now. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to confirm this word with signs following. Work a miracle in somebody's life. Be God in our situation. Watch over us until we're able to meet together again. Blow this plague from the midst of us. We acknowledge your presence. God, as we always pray, bless your people around the world. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people and give them peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. See you next time.